Okay, let me ask you, you said Mullendore.
Right.
And we have the story, the death of E.C. Mullendore III. We've talked about that on our website. So did E.C. Mullendore come in to your Ford store?
Well, yes, E.C., I knew E.C. and his wife, Linda. And one time E.C. stopped by and asked me to ride out west of town, the Blue Stem Lake, the Mullendores and the Drummonds. Had land on the north side of Blue Stem Lake where the city of Pawhuska got their water, and he was building a new set of pens out there and new fences, and I rode out there with him, and he showed me what he was doing. E.C. was spending an awful lot of money in those days, fencing and corrals and everything, and he was starting to have some financial problems, and he was trying to borrow money. In those days, he was able to refinance a lot of his spending just because of the value of land going up, but it got to the point where he couldn't borrow as much money as he wanted to borrow.
Did he mortgage his cattle too? Didn't he put?
Yes.
Yeah. So that all came crashing down, of course. Did you like him? Was he a personable sort of guy?
He was a little bit overbearing, I'd say. I think he was pretty heavy, overweight. He was real slender at one time, and he got into a fight with some hunters one time, and he got beat up pretty bad. He gained a lot of weight.
You remember the day he was murdered?
Yes. Actually, Bruce Gamble was my attorney in Pawhuska, and he had been a labor attorney for Sinclair in Tulsa, and he left Sinclair, and he was a Republican living in Osage County, and I had registered a Democrat when I went to Osage County because knew that I wouldn't get to sell any trucks to the county commissioners unless I was a Democrat, because in those days, the Democrats ran the whole state of Oklahoma. The night that, well, Henry Bellman was governor at that time, and he appointed Bruce Gamble, a Republican assistant district attorney at that time. And the night of the murder, why, George Wayman, the sheriff, called Bruce, and he and Wayman went up to the ranch, and Bruce said that E.C. was lying on the floor there by the sliding glass door at the guest house where he and Linda lived by the swimming pool, and he was dead at that time, and they picked him up and put him in an ambulance. They took him to the Jane Phillips Hospital in Bartlesville, and the sheriff told him, don't do anything till I get there. Well, later, when the sheriff got there, Arnold Moore, the funeral director, had already taken him and embalmed him.
And we have interviewed Sheriff Wayman on our website as well, and he tells that story. There was no reason to take him to the hospital because he was dead already, so why wouldn't you leave? So they disturbed the scene. And then, of course, we know that Chubb Anderson was the prime suspect on that.
And there's a new book that just came out,
yes,
the last 30 days.
And this crime, of course, has never been officially solved.
What was kind of interesting, Dale Curt was the foreman of the ranch at that time. And I don't know if Wayman told you this or not, but we knew Dale Curt, and we were at Kenny Fox's restaurant after the murder, and we were talking to Dale, and he said that when it happened, he ran over there from his house, and then he jumped in his pickup, and he drove from the headquarters out to the entrance, the big Cross Bell entrance, and it was one of those nights where if a car or truck goes down the road, the dust would hang in the air, and he said there wasn't any dust on that road that night. I don't know if Wayman said anything about that or not.
Yeah, he alluded to that, right.
There was another thing that was kind of interesting. I think it was the day of the funeral, or the day before the funeral. The Budweiser rep from Tulsa was calling on me in Bartlesville, and went out to the Holiday Inn to have lunch, and he had the A and Eagle on the back window of his car, and we got out of the car, and this fellow gentleman walked up to us, and he said, are you all connected with Budweiser? Mel Anderson said, yes, I'm the rep out of Tulsa. So we had lunch with him. He said, well, I live in California, but I own 7 Pizza Huts in San Antonio, and I'm here for the funeral. Well, it turned out that he and EC were partners in these 7 Pizza Huts down in San Antonio. And he said, the only time that I ever hear from EC is when he wants to get some money out of our Pizza Huts.
Wow. And here's a man whose father had and lots of acreage, lots of money. And he came down to that level then, trying to get money out of a Pizza Hut, because he was spending wildly his money at the time.
Gail's Aunt Helen, when she graduated from high school, went to work in the First National Bank in Veneta as a teller. And Ewing Halsall, the rancher, offices were on the second floor. Well, he hired Helen in like 1938 to go to work for him in his office. And in 1944, he bought the Frias Ranch at Eagles Pass on the Rio Grande. And the Halsall, Mr. Halsall and his wife and sister-in-law moved to the St. Anthony Hotel, and they had a suite of rooms there in 44. And they wanted to take Helen along. She was single, and Gail's grandparents were hesitant about, you know, a little girl from Veneta going to San Antonio. And Mr. Halsall said, oh no, she's going to live with us in these suite of rooms. So they moved to San Antonio and lived in the St. Anthony, and she outlived Mr. and Mrs. Halsall and Mrs. Ryder. And then she moved into a condo by Trinity University. But she was real close to the Mullendores, the Drummonds, all the big ranchers in Texas at the King Ranch and all that. So one Sunday morning, while she was living in the St. Anthony Hotel, at this time she was living there by herself, this Christmas morning she got a call from EC and Linda and from the ranch, and they wished her Merry Christmas and told Helen that they had given their new little baby daughter that wasn't very old a diamond drop for Christmas. She was only about 2 or 3 years old. And EC said, I'd sure like to have lunch with you sometime. And Helen said, oh, that'll be fine. Just anytime you come down, let me know. And so they hung up. And later that day, she got a knock on her door in San Antonio, and it was EC. He flew down there the same day and wanted to borrow money from her. And of course, she said that, you know, she didn't have that kind of money to loan him money. And he stayed there in St. Anthony. And the next morning, she saw him having breakfast with a big politician, construction company man, that trying to borrow money from him.
So this was all toward the last days before his murder.
Another thing that happened before he was murdered, why Aunt Helen would come up to the Big Creek Ranch in Nowata County, which had originally belonged to Mr. Halsall. When he passed away, he gave all of his employees that worked for him land that he had acquired during his lifetime, and he gave Aunt Helen the headquarters in 5,000 acres up at Big Creek. So Aunt Helen had the Drummonds, Fred Drummond, his wife, and EC and Linda over to the ranch for dinner one evening, and Gail and I were there, and Fred Drummond, EC, and I went out in the pastures to look at some cattle, and EC was talking about the haves and have-nots, and he said, one of these days there's going to be a hell of a mess because of the haves and the have-nots.
Okay, what do you think he meant by that?
Well, there's problems we're having today with the economy and everything, and the people that the middle class that aren't getting ahead like they should because of the way things are being run.
Interesting that that phrase stood out in your mind all these years later.
Yeah. What was really interesting, while we were driving around in the pasture, Gail, Aunt Helen, Linda Mullendore, and Ruth Drummond stayed back at the headquarters and they were visiting, and Linda just kept going on and on about how wonderful Chubb Anderson was and how he helped take care of their kids, and he took the kids from the ranch to Bartlesville to school, and he picked them up after school, and how he even changed the diapers on the little girl and everything. So she spoke very highly of Chubb at that time.
Do you think there was a romantic relationship between
the
two?
Looking between the lines, there probably could have been a little something going on. That, I don't know if Sheriff Wayman told you or not, when the day he was murdered, he'd been drinking a lot during the day, and he and Chubb went to the races, stock car races in Coffeyville, and then they came home that night.
And they got into a fight.
Yeah, they got into a fight, and it could have been, about Linda and his relationship with Linda, possibly.
Right, and that of course is speculation, but there were more than you and I wasn't there, but you're even admitting there could have been a romantic relationship, because Chubb Anderson was physically quite an attractive person, I understand.
That's my understanding. And
or you never saw him in person.
No, but I know it. Gail and I thought after, the way Linda kept bragging on how he helped her take care of the kids and everything, we thought that maybe there was something going on.
So you thought that at that time?
Yeah, we thought when he got murdered that, there was something going on. Okay. Could have been. Did the sheriff tell you about a man named Green that was in the book from Kansas City?
Yes.
That was there at the ranch?
He was there, but it turned out he didn't become a high prime suspect.
No, but he was with the mafia. And Lee C was wanting to borrow money from the mafia. I shouldn't say it that way. He was wanting to borrow money from people in Kansas City.
There was a mafia connection. That's interesting that you were hanging out with these guys. And that all came about because your Aunt Helen, through marriage, put that together. And it's through Gail, actually, that you were there.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
And that's how we met the Hossels. And Aunt Helen actually loaned us the money to go into the Ford business, and we think that Mr. Hossel helped her loan us the money to go into the Ford business.